the love ends. Welcome back, everybody, and welcome to episode number 2 of season 2 of the Reconnect with Your Teenager podcast with yours truly, Emma G. Now, if you are new to this platform, I'm so glad you made it here. I am Emma G. Like I mentioned, I'm a singer, songwriter, and youth empowerment through songwriting coach, using the power of music and songwriting to help young people to step into their voices, step into their truth, step into their power, and overcome those stresses and struggles that we are all navigating using the power of music and songwriting. I recognize, though, that this is a very unconventional way of helping young people. So I thought to myself, what would it look like to join with other unconventional or kind of left of center youth workers, coaches, mentors, therapists, psychologists, etc., to discuss how we can best service and serve rather our young people going into 2024 and beyond. So on that note, I'm super excited to be joined by somebody who is a little bit different. She is an energetic healer and spiritual guide, utilizing other modalities as well, including functional breathing, to help our young people. This is, ladies and gentlemen, Tiffany O'Hearn. How are you, Tiffany?
I am doing so well. And I, you know, first and foremost, I just want to say what you do is just truly amazing, because, you know, so often I, you know, it feels like the youth almost get a little lost. And I feel that they feel that too. I was once one and I felt the same thing. And just to know, you know, in this crazy world that there's people out there that have your back, I think that that's, it's so inspiring. And I just applaud you for what you're doing for these, you know, teenagers and children and what have you. So beautiful.
Thank you so much. And I want to like pass that mirror back on you, however, because one of the things that I love about utilizing music and songwriting as a form of helping young people self-actualize is because music is so spiritual. And you, my love, are a spiritual healer. So I think, like, I'd like to kind of dive into that a little bit, because I think a lot of people kind of shut down when they think about spirituality. We focus a lot on religion being a form of you know, spiritual practice, which it totally is and is completely healthy and important. But, you know, there's so much more to spiritual healing and spiritual growth and spiritual development that I think we kind of shun or shy away from when it comes to our young people, especially. Can you please dive a little bit into what it looks like to be a spiritual worker? What is that? What does that even mean?
Yeah, you know, and it's such a great question. And I do, you know, when it comes to religion, right? Religion and spirituality, they're very different, but they embrace themselves equally, right? Because it's about having something other than ourselves, above ourselves, right? Beyond ourselves. And so when we think about spirituality, there's no book to it. And that's the beauty of it, is that we get to define for ourselves what spirituality looks like. Now, for yourself, right? Spirituality is a connection with music and sound and vibrations. And, you know, truly, if we think about spiritual connections, it is vibrations and it is that healing energy. And where do we find that, right? We find it through song. We find it through words. We find it especially in nature, which also is the rhythms of the soul, if we really want to think about it like that. I mean, if you go outside and just sort of immerse yourself in nature and listen, the sounds you will hear are so beautiful. And I think one of the best ways to connect with your spiritual self is to spend time outside. And I think that that's something right now that our youth demand, but don't know they're demanding it. You know, we are so close to the earth, and the older we become, the more disconnected we become, you know. And, you know, we're all busy, we spend so much time indoors, and we forget what the sun feels like to shine on our face. We forget what the grass feels like. We forget to ground to who we truly are. And so when you can sit in nature, put your back up against a tree, there's no greater love, there's no greater, you know, spiritual connection that I truly feel that you will find. And then you can include your own sort of spiritual practice, right? Because you know, mine might be meditation and journaling, and yours might be music and crystals, right? It doesn't matter what it is. Embrace something beyond yourself, because when you are struggling, when you feel lost, you will be found in nature. And I truly believe that that is the one key to, you know, that spiritual oneness, you know, when you can have more nature. And if you can't bring nature, if you can't go to nature, bring nature to you. Get crystals, find plants, right? There's so many ways to do that. And so, you know, when we think about spirituality, for me, it's understanding that there's so much more love than meets the eye, and it's everywhere. And so just opening up yourself to understand that you are not alone is just a beautiful thing. You know, when you see that one bird that literally looks like it's talking to you, that's spirituality, right? When you find feathers and you think to yourself, wow, I wonder if that's from somebody else, little messengers, little angels, or whatever you see it, you know, we have these people to call on. We have these angels, we have these spiritual guides, and it's up to us to call on them and sort of identify them. And now, you know, I especially with the younger generation, right? Where we're so disconnected. Do it, get out there, put your feet in the water. You know, it's to me is the most profound way to really illuminate what spirituality feels like to you. I can certainly give you a whole ton of ideas, which I'm giving you one right now, right? You know, but it's also seeing through, for me, it's seeing through the lens of love at all times, no matter what.
I love that. It's you're bringing up for me a couple of reminders. So I grew up in New Zealand, but my father was from Fiji. And so, you know, growing up between two paradises, if you will, where we're very, very strongly rooted in our connection with nature. So much so that, you know, if you go into any Pacifica space, often the last thing that they'll say to introduce themselves is their name. They instead start off by explaining, you know, this is my mountain, this is the ocean I grew up next to, this is the river or the lake, you know, so on and so forth, because of that recognition that we are nature and nature is us. And once we lose that connection, you know, that kind of, we lose that part of ourselves. I'm interested to know from your experiences, especially, you know, living, now that I live here in the States and have been living here for almost a decade, which is wild, side note. But, you know, I've noticed a significant difference, I guess, in the way that many young people are not only sort of cut off from the outside world, but are almost told that they shouldn't be there. You know, we expect our children, unfortunately, to be in front of the television or be on their phones or, you know, with their heads in books inside where they're safe and comforted, that we don't necessarily give them opportunities to, you know, have their feet in the sand or dig their toes into the grass or, you know, do cartwheels and whatever it is, all the things that I still do, I'm not going to lie. But what does that look like for a Gen Z person? Or specifically, what does that look like for a parent of a Gen Z person to feel safe enough to give their children access and permission to express that part of themselves and connect that part of themselves?
And it's such a beautiful question. And I really, you know, if we think about, you know, I'm a mom, and when we get to share something like that with our child, that is just so connecting in every way. And so if you say to yourself, wow, that sounds great, how do I start? Where do I begin? Right? Find a day, pick your calendar, just nature day. And that's the day. You know, there's all trails. There's so many different ways that you can find, you know, you can find waterfalls. I mean, I think woods and water are going to be your, you know, your two biggest, you know, energetic sort of, you know, experiences, and immerse yourself in it. Allow yourself to touch, to see, to feel, and just be one with it. And, you know, it's so hard because right now we live in a world where it's very go, go, go. And therefore, the children are very go, go too. And we don't do it intentionally. Us as parents want our children to achieve and we want them to excel. And so we put them in all of these things. Mm. When we fill our children's schedule, unfortunately, what we're missing is that connection. What we're missing is that imagination. What we're inadvertently and likely, again, not intentional, is we're taking that from them, right? Yeah. And we don't mean to. We don't mean to. And so, you know, I imagine for the people that are listening to this, you know, for the audience, they're here because they want to do something different. They feel compelled. They feel drawn to hear and do or see something different, right? And this might be the very thing. Let's give less to our children and allow them more space to be and do. And also, we get to model that for them. You know, something that was very important for me, or something that I understood very early on being a parent, is that I can't actually teach my daughter anything, but I can show her everything. And she can choose what she chooses to really see, right? But I will be the one that says hi to everybody. I will be the one that puts my grocery cart away. I will be the one that says, let's go. Let's go to the woods, baby, you know, and show that to her, right? Because we need more parents to stand up and say, no, let's get outside. Let's go look at the birds. There's Audubon Society. I mean, there's so many different ways. There's ponds that you can go look at, right? And the funny thing is kids get lost in nature far more than we do. And so it's almost like our gift to them is to embrace that more for them, right? Show them more of it. Wherever you live, nature abounds.
Yeah. You're taking me back to 2015 when I first moved to the States, and I was working as an outdoor science education teacher and hiking instructor in the Northeast. And it was phenomenal because you're right. There's so many young people who I think, you know, they want to explore, they want to figure out more about life, how they show up for life. And they've never really had that opportunity, especially for those who grew up in New York City or are growing up in, you know, big bustling cities. And one of the things that you're reminding me of that is it's almost like it's not that the parents don't necessarily want to. It's that they don't know how, and in addition, how to get their kids excited for the great unknown. It's like that there's a story of, I don't know what the story is, but the underlying message being we are far more afraid of change than we are of the devil we know, right? Yeah. And so if the devil we know is stuck on inside on TikTok, not actually having any face-to-face connection with nature, instead we're just looking at trees on our screens, you know, how do we demystify that experience for our young people? How do we make nature and spirituality and spiritual practices more sexy, quote unquote, for our, and appealing for our young people?
Yeah, you know, and you're so right about, you know, the parents, right? Because again, if we're disconnected by virtue of just being busy, trying to pay for all of it, right? Support the family and things like that. Like, I mean, that's real. And I don't want to dismiss that sort of internal chaos that likely we all feel, right? And so, you know, my advice truly is to start small, right? Because the one thing I know it probably won't work for a teenager is to say, put your phone away, we're going on a hike 6 miles, get your water bottle. That might not work, right?
I want to take photos of the nature. What are you talking about?
Yeah. So, well, right. And that's a beautiful thing too. And so, you know, I always empower, right? And I think that's, you know, exactly what you're saying too, right? We're just going to empower. So, hey, I was thinking about doing this crazy thing tomorrow, right? You want to help me find some place to go hike? You want to help me find a place to go, you know, whatever, and engage, you know, the teenager or whomever in that experience and be real with them. Like, this actually seems kind of hard for me too. Does it feel hard for you to go kind of be in nature? It's not something we typically do. Are you willing to explore that with me? You know, and just really humanize it, right? Instead of saying, no, you should go out and do those things. Like, listen, hey, I need your help. Mm-hmm. I need to get outside. I'm way too busy. Do you feel that stress? Because I know I do. Would you like to do that with me? You know, and really just make them a part of it and not a chore, not a, hey, it's family day. Everybody put on a smile. You know what I mean? Like, start small, get some, go to a crystal shop. I mean, I know I mentioned crystals before, right? But children love rocks.
Love crystals, yeah.
And they love crystals. Children or teenagers, right? When we think about it like that, they're closer to earth than we are because, you know, I'm 40. You know, I'm 41. So I'm 41 years away from my connection, my pure connection to that spiritual energy of earth. So how do we invite that back in? Right. Yeah. And so it truly can be, we're just going to go sit and lay our backs up against a tree for 5 minutes and see how weird that feels. Right. Or let's go get the mail, but let's take off our socks and shoes and walk through the grass while we're doing it. You know, it's almost like that word dirt and dirty, you know, they become offensive, but dirt is not dirty, you know? And so often, you know, you have dirt in your hands, you say, I got to wash them. And I'm like, no, you don't. That's a beautiful thing. Let everything just immerse in you. And so, you know, playing it, children love to go out in the rain, go out in the rain with them, splash in puddles. You know, it doesn't, we want to make things really difficult instead of just getting really simple about it. What is the one thing I can do today to get a tiny bit more in nature? Is that going for a walk without my earbuds in, without my phone in? You know, because also there's a whole visual aspect. You know, there's a healer that I follow. And one of the things that he says is to really help with depression is to go outside and just look up. Because what happens when we become depressed? We become very closed. We become very contracted. We're not expansive. So if you can, and I know depression is, you know, a wild, you know, and I'm not dismissing that, but if you can in that moment say to myself or say to yourself, what is the one thing I can do? I can just go get the mail. And you walk out with your chest up high and your head high, and you look to the farthest thing that you can see. It's amazing how that calms your nervous system. Just something so simple, and it's nature. I mean, we can even get into the fruit that you eat, right? If you want to be more connected to nature, eat more fruit. Now, I will say vegetables too. Most people aren't as inclined to eat vegetables, and it's cool. You're going to get more nutrients from the fruit. But think about fruit. Where does it come from? What does it need to grow? It needs three things. It needs water. It needs sun, vitamin D, and it needs minerals from the ground. So when we are eating fruit, right? We're close to nature. We're with nature, especially if we take that moment to just be like, Apple, I love you. Thanks for being here with me, right? And really just enjoying it. I mean, that seems a very simple thing that we can all do is just be mindful while eating a piece of fruit. I mean, if that's the one thing you can do today, that's the one thing you do. And it's beautiful. And it truly is beautiful. You know, there was something else that I had heard, and I can't remember who it was, but in order to invite more beauty into your life, it's to, and we all have our phones, find three flowers a day to take a picture of. Now,
I like that.
Why? Because you start opening your eyes to more beauty.
Yeah.
Nature, right? And so if you can envision and embody and embrace more nature, you will find more of it. And nature will always love you. It will. It will show you that you're not the most important thing in the world, which is kind of what we need for most of us in this day. And, you know, so I'm a hiker, and my partner and I hiked the Appalachian Trail. And so this was 2 years ago, and we had came to this place to spend the night. It was a shelter, and there was just a lot of people. And I was taken aback, right? Cause we're in the woods, and like, you didn't expect to see like 15 people. And so we hang up our stuff, and I come back to the picnic table, and I'm like, hey guys, do you mind if we grab a spot? And I thought they were like in college, right? Mm-hmm. And so they start moving their stuff, and I'm like, what's going on? You know? And they're like, oh, they're in high school. They're in a boarding school in Connecticut. And their teacher in the teacher's partner took these children, whoever wanted to go, on a 4-day immersive experience in the woods. They said, get a backpack. Here's what you need and come with us. I could not get enough of these children. I spent the entire evening talking to them and just really embracing what they're doing. And I wanted them to hear what they're doing. I said, let me tell you something. You have a backpack now. You have spent 4 days in the woods. When life gets hard, go to the woods. That's all you need to know. Go to the woods. Not to hide. It's not about hiding. it's about getting that grounding. It's about getting that inner clarity. It's about learning about yourself. Mm. The best way to do that is to put yourself in a really uncomfortable situation that you approve of, right? Somebody being mean to you is an uncomfortable situation, but that's not what we're talking about. In order to really shift that growth and that inner sort of wisdom within you, right? It's to find time to be quiet and still by yourself. Mm. Right. And so I really, you know, there was a few of them that were really listening to me and I really could feel that. And I was like, you're doing more for yourself than more adults that I know that don't know how to come outside. Right. Mm. And now you have this backpack filled with stuff. It's way too heavy and it's okay. It's fine. You're strong. Just put your backpack on, get out with your friends and go outside. I mean, What a beautiful experience, you know, and we want to make it more difficult than it actually has to be. Just hear the call. Hear the call within you. Hear the call within your child, because it is there. It truly is there. And I know if you're listening to this, you want to be the best parent. You want to be the best person for yourself and for everyone around you. Just listen.
I feel like you've read my bio, because honestly, that's what I did. I was the person that was taking the kids outside hiking for, you know, a couple of days at a time. And it was incredible, you know, to your point of just seeing the immense amount of personal ahas that each young person was having within themselves. And again, to your point, how many of them made mention of how their parents would not be doing this with them. I think a lot of the hesitation that many parents seem to have beyond the time constraint factor is how, you know, dangerous the world can be. I was taking kids hiking on the Appalachian Trail as well, but in Massachusetts. And you know, that summer, and within 3 months, and keep in mind, I'm from New Zealand, we have no animals in the woods except for birds, fish, you know, sheep, cows, and deer. We saw 3 bears that summer. And that was also the summer that I learned about ground wasps, which are not a thing in New Zealand where I grew up. So when it comes to like navigating, I'm sort of using that as a metaphor, because I feel as if, again, people get scared of spiritual practice, of the things that we, you know, oh, we want to learn about religion, but what about X, Y, and Z church, or X, Y, and Z practice, or X, Y, and Z extremists? Oh, we want to learn more about nature. Oh, but what about ground wasps? I want to learn more about, you know, who I am as a human being. Oh, snap, I've just uncovered a dark part of my history that I did not want to face. As somebody who is getting into coaching, you know, both parents and teenagers at the same time, what are your thoughts on how we can best facilitate our parents to help our young people balance that duality of really exciting, empowering experiences, but also some slightly intimidating and possibly uncomfortable, super uncomfortable situations or circumstances?
Yeah. And that's such a beautiful question. And I love that, right? Because a lot of times there are these roadblocks. Now, I will just point out that I'm from Massachusetts. And so whatever trails you were hiking, Emma, I've been there. And I think that's amazing.
I'm sorry that I missed you. I'm just saying.
I'm not saying you. Maybe we didn't miss each other, right? You never know. So there are bears. There are all sorts of things. Now, when we think about dangers and things like that, right? We definitely categorize them much in the way of religion and spirituality. I feel that more people are not comfortable with spirituality because it's not governed, right? There's no, we can do and say, well, that's my spiritual practice. And no one really can tell us no, right? Because it's just what we feel. And I think that that's a scary place. I think being so disconnected from ourselves can be a very scary place. And so, you know, ground wasps are definitely not something that you want to toil with. And there's a lesson there, because when we stay in, when we seclude ourselves, when we bury ourselves behind our screens and things like that, Mm-hmm. I just feel that there's more danger there. And we're not necessarily talking about, you know, who am I talking to on the internet? Is it, you know, is it somebody that I shouldn't? Is it inappropriate? I'm purely talking about what is the danger to our health? What is the danger to our spirituality? What is the danger to our mind, body, and soul, right? Being immersed in all of this technology, it's a beautiful thing. I love technology. I got it all right here. We also need to know how to step away. And so I would almost say, let's not so much think about the danger, because the thing is, we got it. And there's a plan for everything, right? We have cell phones now. You can go out into the woods and never have a cell phone and you'd be cool. You'd be all right. I have no doubt, right? And so what can we do about that? And again, it's just that next thing, right? So Emma, if I say to you, Emma, you and I, we're going to go lead 12 kids in the woods. You'd be like, yeah, that's amazing. I'm on it. Now I could go say it to somebody else and they'd be like, what the what? Mm-hmm. No. Mm-mm. Nope. Not doing that. So that's too much. Mm-hmm. That's too much, right? So where are you at? Are you somebody who really doesn't even know where to find nature? That's okay. That's okay. You can download the All Trails app, right? You can find an Audubon Society. Literally, you can just go pet a dog outside. Just even that, right? Alone is connecting. And then we're going to throw in things like bears and things like that. Because listen, my mom will still say, what are you doing? You're going to sleep with bears. And I say, yeah, I am. The thing is that if you don't disturb nature, if you understand that you are in their home, mm-hmm. things will truly shift for you. Let me tell you what bears don't care about. They don't care about you. What they care about is your food. So if you take proper precautions to hang up your food and or put it in a place that is appropriate,
like a bear box.
Bear will, yeah, a bear box, right? And they will want nothing to do with you, right? And so again, you know, are bees chasing you? Well, we're in their home. So what can we do? Right. Mm-hmm. And if you can understand, and I think that there's a spiritual side to that as well, that, hey, I'm not the only thing here. And wherever I'm sleeping, this is also somebody else's bed. Mm-hmm. Right. Or some other, you know, insect or whatever the case may be. And that may be a frightening thing. And I just trust that if you just start slow, you know, drink the water, well, get a filter, but drink the water from the earth. Please get a filter. you know, there's ways to connect without hiking the Appalachian Trail for 6 months. Mm. Not that I don't think that that's not a beautiful thing, right? But I will tell you, people that hike the Appalachian Trail, they don't start that journey for no reason. Mm. They are all looking for something, whether they know it or not. And at the end of that, they will have achieved whatever it is that they were searching for. And so again, it's that stillness that you get to, you know, peruse within yourself and say, what is it here that I need? What is it that I want? What do I need to connect to? What am I disconnected from? Mm. Am I disconnected from my partner? Am I disconnected from my children? Well, that comes from a lack of love. And guess what? It probably comes from a more lack of love within you than anyone else. And so how do you love yourself more? Right? And our children will watch. They're always watching. So if they're watching you not have that time for self-care and self-care practices and spirituality, they might not find it within themselves. So where do you have the time in the space? Where is the opportunity for you to immerse yourself more in it? Mm. And again, it doesn't have to be this crazy, you know, I'm going to go climb the tallest, you know, climb Mount Washington. No, we don't have to do that. That might be too big for you right now, and that's okay. So again, just start small. Does it mean, you know, learning where your chakras are, but doing it outside? Does it mean looking up at the stars, right? I mean, even just that alone, just basking in the moonlight or the sunlight can be such a beautiful thing. And if we want to look for the danger, we will find the danger. You know, if we want to look for it, we'll find it. But what can we do that feels soulful, that feels us, you know, calling? How do we calm our nervous system? And now, guess what? They have sheets that you can buy that ground you, that bring in the outdoors, right? And they're all beautiful things. But how do we get more involved? Does that mean planting plants in your house? That might be your first step. That's okay. That's okay. And do it with your full self. Do it with your whole self, you know? And so often we say we don't have time. Well, but what do you have time for? Do you have time to get sick? Probably not, right? But the more that we don't nurture ourselves spiritually, the more this dis-ease sort of takes over us. Amen. And so time becomes an illusion, right? We all have time for what we have time for. What are you going to make time for? How do you invite more of it?
By the sounds of things, what they should be making time for is contacting you so that you can help to reinstate some of these spiritual practices into our lives, because you're completely right. The moment we, you know, find ourselves in moments of chaos are the moments that we find ourselves in moments of dis-ease, which then of course results in dis-ease. I was, as you know, I've been blessed enough to speak at two TEDx events now. And the first one that I did last year, there was another speaker there, Laurent, who was talking about how stress is the number one cause of death in every single country, which is wild to me. So spiritual practice is such an important way for us to not only take care of ourselves, but of course lead a positive example for our young people to make sure that they too grow up into happy, healthy, whole and holistic human beings. We have unfortunately run out of time. I feel like we could talk for hours. I love all the things that you're doing. You are, you know, working in both in person and virtually in Massachusetts. You are also working, you know, you've got a lot of speaking gigs going on, you're a podcaster yourself. But how can people get hold of you?
Yeah. So my social medias are a great place just to see what I'm up to. You know, I'm all about love and I'm all about energetics and healing and vibrations and all of that. And, you know, I'll leave you with this. You know, when we think about ourselves, we often think that we don't have choice. And the number one thing that we always have choice over is ourselves. And so if you have stress, now you mentioned stress, but stress truly is a product of just a reaction within us. And so you can heal all of those things, you know? And I also do a lot of energetic healing, which truly is so profound, but it's one thing to say, it's a whole other thing to experience, you know, but being able to sit with yourself and love yourself and understand your worthiness, well, that helps your child. And I think it's the greatest gift that we can give our children is that. And so again, you can find me on my socials. I'm all about love. You know, Tiffany O'Hearn or Life and Breath is on TikTok and Instagram. My website is also a great place to go. And, you know, just, you know, follow me and you'll see what I'm all about. Cause it's just all about love and just doing and being better for humanity. We got to be the light in the darkness.
Amen. Thank you so much, Tiffany. I really
appreciate
your time.
Likewise.
And for everybody else who's listening in, of course, Tiffany O'Hearn on all social media. We will be having all the links and things in the description of this episode. Until next time, friends, be good, be kind, spread love like it's going out of fashion. Remember, you are the writer to your own song. You have the pen. Special thanks to my Patreon community and to the iRant Network for helping me bring this podcast to life. Until next time, be good.
Mrs. Magic. Don't let it know who I am, 'cause I'm a woman, I'm not a man. I'm living.